Jesus told a parable of a landowner that planted a vineyard and put a wall around it. And then he made a wine press. And then he built a tower where he would store the wine, the fruit of his labors, the fruit of those that labored in his vineyard. What does that parable mean to you and to me today, beloved? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the importance of bearing fruit. The book of Matthew is all about the kingdom of God. The king has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. And as Jesus talked about the kingdom, he used many parables to explain the kingdom. I'm standing in a vineyard in Judea, and Jesus is going to refer and use the vineyard as an illustration of the importance of understanding the authority of the kingdom of God. Remember, he opens up the gospel with announcing that Jesus is the King of the Jews. None of the other gospels talk about this one particular incident of the Magi coming and asking, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" I think it's significant because what he is showing here is there are Gentiles who have recognized that it is the time of the Messiah, the time of the birth of the King of the Jews, and they in turn have come to worship the King of the Jews. They have come to worship the King of the Jews, and they are Gentiles. They are not Jews. Well, as you go on in Matthew, one of the things that you see is you see Jesus telling them, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, "I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Jews thought that simply because they were Jews, because they had the law, because they had the commandments of God and they knew what they were and they were keeping them to the letter of the law, even tithing their mint and their cumin, that automatically guaranteed them entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But remember what Jesus said on that Mount of Beatitudes overlooking the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on to say, "You have heard it said, but I say to you, I say to you." And he takes them from the external to the internal, showing them that it is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of a righteousness that is not merely an external keeping of the law, but a righteousness that goes to the heart. And this is why he says, if you look at a woman to commit adultery with her in your heart, then you are guilty of it. Now we've come to Matthew chapter 21. And remember how that chapter opens. It opens with Jesus Christ coming down what you and I call the Palm Sunday Road. And as he comes down, they are saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." They are saying, "Save us now, we pray." That's what Hosanna means. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, they are proclaiming the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Behold, your king is coming to you on a donkey." Your king is coming unto you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Then they leave there and they go into the temple. You remember it, I trust. But they go into the temple and even the children are following him. And they're continuing to say, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests and the scribes are indignant. And they want them to stop. They want them to stop. Why? Because they understand what's happening. They understand that he is being proclaimed again as the king. And a king has a kingdom. Jesus is in the temple. He leaves the temple. He goes to Bethany. He spends the night there. And then the next day he gets up and he comes back into the temple area. And when he gets into the temple, then he's challenged by the chief priests. He's challenged by them because they want to know, by what authority are you doing these things? Look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Where do you get this authority from? Why? Because they were the authority figures until Jesus came on the scene. They were the teachers until Jesus came on the scene. Now what's happening? Well, what's happening at this point is he has become the teacher. He is the one that is drawing the multitudes. He is the one that has the people sitting at his feet, young and old. And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. I love it. He didn't always answer their question. Sometimes he answered their question with a question. He says, the baptism of John was from the source. What source? Was it from heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, talking among themselves. And they were saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. So if we say that John's authority came from men and they think he's a prophet, then they're not going to like what we have to say. What were they? They were pleasers of the people instead of pleasers of God. They wanted their way. They wanted the kingdom on their authority, under their authority, and not under the authority of this one that has been proclaimed King of the Jews, that has been pronounced as a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. And so, answering Jesus, they said, we don't know. And he also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What word have you heard repeated, beloved? You've heard the word authority, authority, authority. What is the kingdom of heaven all about? It's a matter of authority. A matter of whose authority? It's a matter of God's authority over man's authority. And this is what they don't see. And this is what they don't want. And this is why when John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 comes preaching and Jesus comes preaching in Matthew chapter 4, what is the message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have a change of mind. The king has come and you and I are to do obedience to the king. But they don't want to do obedience to the king. They want to get rid of the king. And so then Jesus says to them, but what do you think? So he takes this matter of authority, and what he does is he's turning the tables now, and he's going to say, but what do you think? And he's going to tell them a story that is going to get his point across. Let's listen to the story. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go work today in the vineyard. Go on out. I want you to work today in the vineyard. I want you to till the ground. I want you to take care of it. I want you to trim the vines. I want you to see how the fruit is doing. Go work in the vineyard. And then he said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. I'm not going, Father. And then he felt bad, and he decided to go. Now, what did he have? He had a change of mind. A change of mind. That's what repentance is. So he said no, but then he regretted it, and he decided to go. That is repentance. And then it goes on to say, and the man came to the second son, and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he didn't go. He says, which of the two do you think did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. And Jesus said to them, now listen, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. Can you imagine what happened when he said that? I'm telling you that the tax collectors were despised by the Jews because they were collecting money from them to give to Rome. There was nothing lower than a tax collector. And among women, there was nothing lower than a prostitute. And what he has just said to the chief priests, what he has just said to the elders in the temple is, I'm telling you a story, and I've told you a story about two sons. One son that says, I will not go, then regrets it and goes. The second son says, I will, sir, and gives a verbal consent and yet does not do the will of the Father. And he takes that story and he says, I want you to understand one thing. It's the tax collectors and it's the prostitutes who did not do the will of God to start, but regretted it and turned around. Those are the ones that are greater in the kingdom of heaven. Those are the ones that are going to get into the kingdom of heaven before you. He says, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But, a term of contrast, the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him. John the Baptist came with a message. And what was that message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet, they would not believe. They would not listen. They would not submit to the authority of his word. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed. And he says, and when you saw them believing, you saw them believing, you saw that they recognized that this was truth, and you did not even repent, you did not even feel remorse. What is it, precious one? It's the fact that we get stuck in our religiosity. It's the fact that we get stuck saying, I know the way, and I'm going to make the way, and it's going to be my way, or it's not my way at all. Oh, beloved, the kingdom of God is not about your way. It's about God's way, and it's about submitting to God's authority. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? As I said in the first segment of the program, Jesus was in the temple, and he was being challenged by the chief priests and the elders of the people. They challenged his authority. They wanted to know where he got his authority, and he wouldn't even answer them. And then he began to show them how they had refused to submit to God. Remember, Jesus said in the end of the Sermon on the Mount that many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not done these wonderful things in your name? And he said, then I will say to them, I never knew you. And he makes it very clear. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord, but it's those who do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Now he's going to tell them another parable. As it's precept upon precept with Jesus that day in the temple, it is parable upon parable. It says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. In this vineyard, you can see right here the grapevines. Over beyond my left hand, there's a wine press. And right here is the tower. The tower is where they would store the wine. They would put the wine into the wine jugs, the grape juice into there. And then they would take them and they would put them in the tower. He wants them to know and to understand what they're doing in regard to God. How they say and profess to be sons of the kingdom, but they really aren't. He says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. God keeps giving himself the picture of being the landowner. And he is the landowner. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. His sovereignty rules over all. He is the creator. We are the created. He is the one that is the Lord, the master. And we are to be his servants. We're to be obedient to him. We are to do his will. And so he says, when the harvest time approached, he, the landowner, sent his slaves to the vine growers to produce, to receive his produce. And the vine growers took the slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. And again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent a son to them saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, when he shows up, what will he do to the vine growers? Now, these men are so caught up in the story that they answer Jesus' question. They said to him, he'll bring out those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay them the proceeds in their proper seasons. And Jesus said to them, did you never read? Did you never read the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, now when you see a therefore is a term of conclusion. So listen to his conclusion to this second parable. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone, he's the cornerstone, will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. Duh, they got the point. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the people, because the people considered him to be a prophet. A prophet he was. He was the prophet, he was the priest, he was the king, just as had been prophesied in the Old Testament. What does he want us to see? What does he want us to know? Who were the slaves that they killed, that the vine, that the owner of the vineyard had sent to them? It was the prophets. They killed the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They put the prophets in cisterns, such as they did with Jeremiah, because they didn't want the message of the prophet. Then he sends another group of prophets, and those prophets they reject. And so then the landowner sends his own son. The landowner is God. The son is the Son of Man that is standing before those chief priests and those elders. And he's standing there and he's showing them that they are rejecting the very Son of God. They are rejecting the very cornerstone, the cornerstone of the kingdom of heaven. They're rejecting it. And they're rejecting it. Why? Because they do not want this man to reign over them. They do not want him to be the king of the Jews. They want the kingdom. They want to seize it. And God, remember, says that in, and we read it in Matthew, you come and you seek to seize the kingdom by force. You can't seize the kingdom by force. The way you get into the kingdom of God is to bow the knee, to bow the knee to the authority of God. You can't have it your way, beloved. It is only God's way. And so he wants them to see that their righteousness has to exceed. It has to exceed an external righteousness. It has to be a righteousness of the heart, a righteousness that comes from believing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, that Yeshua is the Messiah, and that he is the Son of God, and there's no other way to God before him. Now, what do you see about the hearts of these chief priests? What do you see about the hearts of these elders? They understand that this one standing before him that has done all these miracles, that has done all this teaching, the one that has been moved with compassion, the one that claims to be the Christ, the Son of God, that this one is the one that they do not want to rule over them. And therefore, what they want to do is they want to seize him. They want to kill him. Watch what happens in the Gospel of Matthew following this, following the king coming in on a donkey. Your king is coming to you on a donkey. And as you know, when you came on a donkey, you were coming for peace. But there's no peace, precious one, apart from the Prince of Peace. And the only Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. This all happened in the temple, but what he did was in his mind's eye, in their mind's eye, he took them back to the ordinary situations of life and used places like this, used places like a vineyard, used places like a tower to store the wine in, used places like the wine press to teach them valuable, valuable truths, the truths of the kingdom of God. Precious one, listen to me carefully. The kingdom of God is at hand, and very soon the king is coming. The Son of Man is going to mount his glorious throne. And the question is, will you be among the redeemed? Will you have submitted to the authority of the king?
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
And what is your precept for life, beloved, as I stand in this vineyard? What is the purpose of a vineyard? The purpose of a vineyard is to produce fruit. And God's message to you and me today is, if there's no fruit, precious one, then there's no kingdom. Righteousness bears fruit. And if you are not bearing fruit, you are not righteous. Remember what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist, when we go back to chapter 3, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in verse 8, it says, therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. When you have a change of mind about the authority of God, when you have a change of mind and you recognize that there is a king that is to rule over you, and that king is the Son of Man, the Son of God, then that repentance, that changing of mind about who's going to rule your life and what authority you're going to live under, brings fruit. So we go back to Matthew chapter 21. And in Matthew chapter 21, this is what he says in verse 43. I want to read it to you again. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. A man doesn't plant a vineyard and grow vine plants not to have fruit. As you look at these vine plants, what you see is you see tender, tender little grapes, teeny tiny little things. It's the fruit that is going to come to maturity. He didn't plant it just to have green plants. He planted it to have fruit. And that's what God wants from your life. He was telling those men, because there is no fruit of righteousness in your life, then I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, and I'm going to give it to the tax collectors, I'm going to give it to the prostitutes, and I'm going to give it to the Gentiles who will come and bow the knee and recognize that I am King of the Jews and who will worship me for exactly who I am. He is the cornerstone. And you can't build on anything else but the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So, precious one, don't stumble over the cornerstone. Believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and as your God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.